Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the second quarter 2011 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources Ltd. on Friday, August 12, 2011. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place unknown reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued yesterday and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. We undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now I'm pleased to introduce our President and CEO, Dr. Klaus Zeitler.
Thank you, Michael. Welcome, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. Well, we are very pleased about our results, despite the fact that, as we said, they were, of course, very much influenced by the strike, by the extended strike, which took place in Chile, and particularly the one where the workers of the contractors of El Teniente were on strike for basically 7 weeks. And the major part of that strike hit us in the second quarter. But despite of that, as you can see, our revenues compared to the same quarter last year were significantly higher. This, of course, is due to the higher copper price, mainly. Our operating cash flow was still very decent at just short of $7 million, despite the fact that in June we were scrambling because we basically had almost no production during that month. Our cash balance is also a very healthy cash balance of almost $36 million. And looking at that, you have to take into account that during the quarter, we paid about $3.5 million in dividends, and we made bank debt repayments of about $2 million. So we were hoping that the quarter would be much better, but as I said, the strike stopped us from getting really good results. In detail again, we had quarterly gross profits of $3.5 million, and that compares to about 2.7 in Q2 2010, and we had an operating profit of $2.4 million, again compared to only $400,000 in the quarter in 2010. Our profit after tax was just under $2 million, compared to a loss in Q2 2010 of almost $300,000. As I said, cash flow was very decent despite the strike of about $6.6 million, and that again is significantly higher than the Q2 2010 number of $4.2 million. Our working capital, I mentioned the cash already of $35 million, and our working capital stands at $33 million at the end of the quarter. During the quarter, we have also executed the final agreement with El Teniente for the treatment of the high oxide content tailings. We also completed the construction of the pilot plant to do this, and we could have started to produce copper from that plant during the quarter, but the strike hindered us. In the meantime, after the strike was settled in the second half of July, we started up that plant, and it is running satisfactory, and we are producing copper from that plant. The production numbers, of course, are lower than with respect to copper, are lower than in Q2 2010. We only produced 9.4 million pounds, and you have to consider that this is basically the production of only a little bit more, a few days more than 2 months of production during the second quarter. So considering that it only is the production of 2 months, this was a pretty good production period in April and May. Molybdenum production, despite of the strike, was higher than in Q2 2010 by over 20%. We produced 190,000 pounds. Again, this is the production from just a little bit more than 2 months. So very good molybdenum production, and that is mainly due to the fact that we are, of course, treating more tailings from Colibas, from the old tailings, and that gives us higher molybdenum production, and of course also the actions which we had taken to increase the recovery is reflected in this higher molybdenum production number. With respect to the revenues, you can see that these revenues are also significantly higher than in Q2 2010, despite the lower copper production. And as you can see from our release, this, of course, is mainly due to the higher copper price, which was just short of $4 per pound compared to $3.09 in Q2 2010. The molybdenum price was also a little bit higher than Q2 2010, and that of course also contributed positively combined with the higher molybdenum production. As you know, the molybdenum price in the meantime has retracted a little bit, but it is still at a level which gives us a decent byproduct credit. With respect to costs, you see that our costs have our average costs for the quarter have increased to $2.26 from $1.81 in Q2 2010. What you have to consider, however, is that this again was influenced mainly by the strike action in the month of June. If you only take the April and May months and the costs during these months, the cash costs would stand just short of $2 at $1.98. And if you then make a comparison on the basis of the same power costs as in Q2 2010, all other costs would in effect be lower than they were in Q10. The difference between the $1.81 in Q2 10 and the $1.98 for April and May is in the power costs, and as you see, the power costs have increased from 2010 to 2011 from about 15 cents per kilowatt hour in 2010. Q2 to 21 cents in the quarter which we just reported about. We are hoping that in the second half of this year the power costs will come down. They have started to come down slowly, even though not as fast as people might have expected after the rains have started in Chile. And that is mainly due to the fact that the reservoirs of the hydropower plants have been very much depleted. And the authorities are still restricting the production of power from hydropower dams to a certain point because they want these reservoirs reach a level which can be considered normal before they let the power plants run full out on their hydropower capacities. Another factor which has influenced the costs is the appreciation of the Chilean peso in the second quarter. And as you see from the release, it has appreciated by about 14% in the second quarter of 2011. And this, of course, affected all our Chilean peso dominated costs. Again, as I said, we have a very decent cash balance of $35.8 million, and this despite, as I said, the payment of dividends and the repayment of bank debt, and also the significant capital expenditures which we had in the second quarter of 2011. With respect to a forward-looking statement, we have lost during the strike in the months of June and July about 2,400 tons of copper, and it will, you can imagine, be a big task to recover this amount of copper in the second half of this year. So most probably we will do our best to recover some of this, but it would be just too overwhelming to say at this point that we will be able to recover all of this loss. So we will probably fall short of our originally projected 50 million pounds of copper and 1 million pounds of molybdenum. And all we are hoping is that we will not fall short too much of this. And as I mentioned, we are also hoping that power costs in the second half will cooperate with us and that we should see a better profitability due to that. But I do have to warn, you should not forget that also our third quarter will be influenced still by the strike, because the strike was only settled on July 19th, and we were only able to take up full production at that point again. These are my statements, and we are very happy to answer your questions. I just want to mention that Aurora Davidson, our Chief Financial Officer, is also here, so we are ready for your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you are using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before dialing your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad, and you can cancel your question if you wish by dialing the pound sign. Please press star 1 if you have a question at this time. And the first question is from John Polcari at New York. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Okay, good afternoon, gentlemen. Two questions. First is, can you speak to what the cash flow generation might have been with the power contract that will be in effect in 2013. In other words, assuming we're approximately a year from now, how dramatic an impact would those lower power costs have on your cash flow at the current production rate? Have you, and again, obviously, assuming everything else is equal, the same, roughly, approximately the same copper price.
Right. Well, as you see from the release, our power costs were approximately 21 cents per kilowatt hour, and the new price in 2013 will be, I would think, approximately in the 8 cent range. Now, I cannot say exactly what it is because it is based on a 6.2 cent base price.
Right.
Plus an inflation adjustment from the beginning of the contract.
I remember you covered that in a prior call.
Yes.
So I understand.
So you basically have a difference of about 12 to 13 cents. And you now have to multiply that by the amount of kilowatt hours which we need in order to produce a pound of copper, and that ranges just short of 5 kilowatt hours to about 5.5 kilowatt hours. So basically, you can say it would be at a minimum about 60 cents lower.
So it is. It's a dramatic change.
Dramatic change.
And that contract is, I believe, what is that, a 10-year contract?
No. Well, the contract in total is a 10-year contract, but by 2013 it has run 5 years. So then we have another 5 years.
Okay. And that is by far probably your largest cost. That would even the power cost. I think.
Absolutely.
Um, don't remember the exact, I don't have my notes in front of me, but in the last conference call, you spoke to the generators being able to perhaps, and then an agreement with the hydroelectric company, putting a cap on your power costs. No matter how high they went, you were capped. I thought it was somewhere around 20 cents a kilowatt.
We are right now, apart from the generators, which we have this year and next year a cap of 20 cents per kilowatt hour. Now, this is the pure kilowatt hour price.
Okay.
But we do have, and this effect, this affected our power costs in this quarter, because we have a fixed cost, which is apart from the kilowatt hour price. And if you are not producing,
that affects your fixed
cost. Of course, this fixed cost plays a major role. Excuse me.
So again, all things being equal, sometime in the fourth quarter as a standalone, that power cost actually might come down a bit.
We are certainly expecting that, yes.
And my last question is simply, I know you're not hedging, you have certainly a comfortable cash balance, and I commend your conservatism. There's always unanticipated capex, and I know the issues that occurred in prior years probably lead you to operate with a bit more liquidity than you had in the past. Given those constraints, however, if copper prices stay at this level and your cash balances run in the $35 to $40 million range, in addition to the dividend, which I know is a board decision, is there any thought or has there been thought given to proposing to the board, and also in light of the fact that the stock is either at or perhaps just slightly below book value,
right,
something akin to, and I was just doing a back of the envelope effect of a 5% share repurchase, or even the announcement of a share repurchase, which would be approximately 8 million shares at this price. That's $4 or $5 million, which is a modest amount compared to what might be the ongoing cash balances. I know you can't do a dramatic repurchase, maybe you have reasons for not doing it at all, but have you given thought to, at these levels, particularly over the last month, deploying some of your hard-earned capital to buying in, or at least...
Yeah, I mean, you know, the board is considering these things all the time. Earlier in the year, we considered it, and that was, at that time, was the decision to reinstate the dividends.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're absolutely right. At these levels of our share price, we should look hard again at share repurchases. And again, you're right. We, of course, have some restrictions there, but yeah, but it could still be done to a certain amount. But you also have to take into account that we have been talking for a long time about hoping that we could expand our business,
right,
into other tailings ponds, which would require capital.
Sure.
For that. And I think, we have made some progress in that respect, and I think the board is also cognizant of that situation. We certainly, if something like that would come about in the near future, we certainly would not want to go to the market and raise capital.
No, I agree.
For such an expansion at these prices.
Right. I mean, that's why I prefaced it by saying you might have alternatives maybe a substantial capex if the business expanded. In light of that, since you mentioned it, there have been long and ongoing talks. Do you feel you're any closer to that than you have been over the last year? It's been somewhat of a protracted negotiation.
Yes, I do.
So it's perhaps by 2012 there might be some movement in that area?
I would hope.
And the capex there could run $30, $40 million maybe?
Would be, total capex would be more.
Okay. Lastly, quick point on your reduced but still outstanding investment on Candente. Is the posture keeping it for the foreseeable future? At least I know you made some great sales earlier in the year, well-timed.
Right.
Congratulations. And on what's remained, the price, along with everything else, has been depressed. Is the posture for the time being just to hold that investment?
Yeah, well, we still think, despite the fact that we sold some of our investment there, I think we did have
a
good timing there. But we still think that the Kandiariaco project is a really good project, and Candente is making progress with the feasibility study. And I would be surprised if Kandiariaco would not be, well, and you know that Candente is spinning out now all the other copper projects which they still have. So Candente itself will consist of only the Kandiariaco project and the surrounding very prospective areas.
Right.
I would be surprised if there would not be one of the big players coming and looking at this project and saying, well, gee, here are 10 billion pounds of copper,
right,
at a in a project which will show pretty decent cash costs and pretty decent returns,
right,
at the $2 to $2.25 range. So,
and the political situation
and
has certainly settled
down
at
also. That point, Candente will not be sold at $1.10 or at $1.20.
Right, I understand. And I assume that you have a favorable outlook on the political situation there now that the election news has settled down and things,
yes,
seem to be a little more stable.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. Dr. Zeller, I just wanted to say, I thought in light of all the circumstances between energy prices, copper prices, the strike, you've all done a commendable job. I'm an analyst at an institutional investment firm. We think you've done a very good job. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Steve Ottridge in Vancouver. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hello, gentlemen. A couple of questions about the pilot oxide plant. Did Codelco pay half the cost of the plant and you pay half?
No. No, we built this plant together with a supplier of reagents and that supplier they don't have a patent, but they have certainly the experience of handling a very very central portion of that process. So they were very much interested in getting such a plant running. Because eventually it will be very beneficial for them also to be able to demonstrate that that this can be done with these reagents.
Okay, so but you say you're producing copper from it, but what are you actually producing? Pure copper?
No, copper concentrates, very high grade copper concentrates, between 60% and 70% copper.
Okay, oxide concentrates, right? Yeah. Okay. Another question I got for you: with the strike that was on by Codelco people or the contractors, did you lay off any of your own employees?
No.
No. So you kept them busy doing maintenance stuff, etc.
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, we had no idea how long that strike would go. Normally, these kind of strikes in Chile are settled after 3, 4, 5 days.
Yeah.
But obviously, the world also there is changing, as you could see from the strike at the Escondida mine.
Yep.
Which was considered an illegal strike, and they were hoping that that will be settled in 1 or 2 days, and it lasted for, I think, 10 or 12.
Right. And I guess the other situation is the Chilean political situation, where you've had students rioting somewhat. Is that having
still rioting? Yeah,
still rioting. Having any effect on the company?
No, the student riots. No.
No, they're just in Santiago, are they?
Don't
come down and affect you in any way. Okay, that's my questions. There's one other one. Though on the pilot oxide plant, it's just pilot. How big a plant are you thinking of putting in if you go full out on it?
Well, you know, eventually we are thinking if we can get access to additional tailings, which are very much oxidized, that this plant would have to produce between 20 and 25,000 tons.
Okay, well, that's in a separate tailings pond, though, right?
Yeah.
You're taking these oxide tailings you're taking out right now are from the Colibas.
From Colibas, yeah. There's one part of Colibas, the what we call the back part of Colibas, which has never... Most of Colibas has always been underwater,
mm-hmm.
and therefore the oxidation process has not been very advanced. But there was one portion which has sort of been very seldom underwater, and that's where a very high oxide portion of the tailings in Colibas are located.
Okay, and I think you said in that this pilot plant did not run while the strike was on, and I don't see why that would have been the case.
Well, again, because we couldn't deliver any tailings downstream from us.
Oh yes, because you've got to okay, I'm with you.
We have to get rid of these tailings after we process them.
Yeah. Okay, makes sense. Okay, thank you, Klaus.
Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. And the next question is from David Shapiro in Arlington. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi. Just a quick question. I may have missed it. What was the run rate at the plant currently?
The run rate in terms of what?
Production. Production right now?
Of feed material?
No, just total copper production at this point. What's your rate of production at this point now that the strike is over and everything is back to normal? What rate are you running at currently?
Roughly 2,000 tons of copper a month.
Okay. All right, very good. And, you talked about, I think, Klaus, if I'm not mistaken, did you say $1.98 for cash costs is what you would have run at had you had a normalized quarter? Was that correct?
These were our actual cost actual cash cost in April and May.
Okay, so that would be more of a normalized type run rate.
Yes.
versus the two
at the present high power costs.
Right, and we were looking at two, but the quarter came in at 226, correct?
Yeah, 221, I guess. 226, sorry, yeah, 226.
Right. I'd like to just which category exactly would have gone down primarily to close the gap between the 226 and the 198? Which cost category would have accounted for that drop? I certainly don't think power, right? Was it the other cost category that would have accounted for most of it?
No. The statement which I made, when you look at the power costs, the power costs in Q2 were more or less 15 cents, and in Q2 2010 were 21 cents.
Right. I'm not looking at I'm just looking at the second quarter here. You know, you were saying at the same high power costs, you would have done $1.98. You know,
right.
So it's clearly there's a fixed, most of the delta between the 226 and $1.98, I'm assuming, is some fixed cost spreading, correct?
Yes. Yeah, including power, yes.
Right. I'm just trying to understand which category, you know, you break out your categories in the Q here in your quarterly financials. Which category? I'm assuming not power. You know, is it steel? Is it other costs? Is it administration? What category would have closed that gap?
Certainly,
that's a big gap.
Administration. It would certainly be labor. It would. In fact, maintenance had gone up because, you know, now we had we employed, you know, some of the people to do maintenance, so we had more spare parts and stuff like that, and the fixed costs of the power.
Okay, so maybe a combination between the power cost and the other cost category.
Right.
Is that fair
to
say?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, and then lastly on the royalty expense. You know, we've been tracking your royalty as a percent of the LME price. It's usually been tracking around 21% of the LME price. You know, this is rough numbers. And now it jumped up to 26.7. I'm assuming that's because the old tailings was a much higher percentage of the feed for this quarter.
Yeah, that certainly is one aspect to it. And the other aspect is where when you read the is it in the MD&A or in the
royalties?
Yeah. It's in the note of the financial statements where we mention that the royalties are paid in Chilean pesos based on an exchange rate which is either the dólar acuerdo or the dólar observado. There are two exchange rates, whichever is higher. And unfortunately, in the last little while, the spread between these two exchange rates has widened, and due to the contract which we have to pay the higher rate. So that also had an effect on the increase of the royalty. I have, in the meantime, asked our lawyers in Chile to look into this because these two exchange rates, acuerdo and observado, have been very close together, particularly in the first 10 to 12 years of this contract. And you have to remember this contract dates back to 1990, and what I've asked the lawyers to investigate is to find out whether the acuerdo is still a valid, commercially valid exchange rate, because nobody's using that, not that we know, is using that exchange rate. So,
okay.
So we are investigating that.
Okay, if I look at the $1.11 of royalty costs, how much lower would it have been if you were producing the normal flows from the new tailings? In other words, I'm trying to isolate the,
I don't have the exact number, but it is substantial. It could be up to certainly between $100,000 and $200,000 per month.
Okay, so maybe 300,000, 300 to 500,000 if you had more new tailings lower, it would have been, or something.
No, it has nothing to do with, it has nothing to do with the, you were saying
I'm saying that your royalty rate seems high, and you said, well, it was the exchange rate difference, and I'm like, well, isn't it also the old tailings are comprising a higher portion for the quarter than the new tailings?
Right.
I'm trying to isolate, if you had more of the normal flow in the quarter without the strike disruption, that $1.11 per pound would have dropped to what if you would have had the more normal mix between old and new?
Probably 96 cents.
It would have been close to what it was last quarter?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a huge... So basically you're saying the, almost the entirety of the differential is the flow and not the exchange rates?
No, sorry. The combined effect of the exchange rate where we had it and the flows would have been approximately 96 cents per pound. I think that if we were trying to isolate the effect of the... So we have a 15-cent delta. Maybe 10-cent clouds would be from the composition of the tailings, and 5 cents would be on the exchange rate compared to last quarter.
Okay. That's perfect. That's
probably
helpful. That's what I was trying to get at. Next question is, I noticed that the LME price of copper is different than the gross price that you report that you receive. And when I mean gross price, it's price before the smelting and the adjustment factors. I mean, it lags by 17 or 15 cents. Can you please explain why that is?
You're talking about our copper recorded price of $3.97
versus $4.15 on the LME.
Yeah, there are two things to consider there. One of them is the quota composition. We are paid on a quota basis, so we may not necessarily be delivering on a given month the full. Let's say in May we may not have necessarily delivered the May quota. We may still be working with April quota, which is then subject to a different price based on our price convention than if we had been working with a proper May quota itself. And we also have the effect of settlement adjustments to prior period sales.
Okay, so so eventually it should normalize out, over time, is what you're
over
saying.
Over time it normalizes out. It's just a question of timing differences on a month by month, on a quarter by quarter basis.
Okay. Lastly, and then I'll leave it open, I also want to compliment management on, really doing very, very well throughout this trying period and keeping production on target as much as possible. I'm sure it's not a small task. But I'd also like to say, you have $3 of operating costs on a normalized basis here, assuming power costs remain high. You got copper prices at $4. I do a back-of-the-envelope calculation. You guys should be able to do $50 million of EBITDA, just a back-of-the-envelope calculation. That's before you get any more benefit from power costs. So you got $50 million of EBITDA. You got the company selling at $120 million enterprise value. You got a 2.2 times cash flow company here with your stock down at 84 cents. Very, very cheap. I would ask management, are you seeing any investment, whether external or internal, that could possibly give you a better return than your own stock? And that's my last question. And thanks again for your hard work through this tough environment.
Thank you, David. No, I mean, we here, as one of the prior speakers said, you know, and the board certainly will have to discuss the question of buying back stock, but, you know, also be cognizant of the fact that we may have significant investment in the not-too-distant future. And just to your other comment, I'd just like to add, yes, we, you know, the operating team has done a terrific job during this strike action, and what we have done during that time is we have made some restructuring of our flow sheet, and the flow sheet of the plant is now such, and that contributed certainly also to the cost, because you know it's always very difficult with this kind of work to separate what is investment and what is normal maintenance. But we can now in future, which we could not at the beginning of the strike, produce separately from the old tailings and from the fresh tailings. And that was very important, for the months of July, where we had some decent production, despite the fact that we still didn't get any fresh tailings up to the 20th of July. So yes, we also commended the operating crew for doing a great job there.
Thank you. The next question is from Ken Hefner in Lakeland. Please go ahead. Your line is now open. I beg your pardon. The next question is from John Polcari in New York. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thanks, Dr. John Polcari. Again, a quick follow-up question. Briefly, on the generators, you had them refurbished within the last year, and you had mentioned in the prior call they were operating up to expectations.
One was operating, and the second one should either be back in operation this month or early next month.
And that would equate to approximately, was it 30% of your power needs?
No, the two together should be about at full production 714, about 60%.
Okay, so 30% apiece approximately.
30% apiece, yeah.
And that would put you down into what, somewhere around the mid to high teens because of the price of diesel fuel, I imagine?
Price of diesel now lower, so they are producing, at about 15, 16 cents.
Have you given any thought to an additional generator? You had mentioned perhaps adding one, or?
No, we don't want to become a power company with diesel generators.
Right.
We had enough.
Okay.
Sorry that I'm laughing. We had enough problems with these.
Yeah, I know.
Now, you know, perhaps we chose the wrong ones. But anyway, I think, as we were saying earlier, the power costs will come down to around eight cent range per kilowatt hour in 2013.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is because at the time when we did the contract, the power companies were of the opinion that after the the shock when the gas delivery from Argentina was turned off to Chile, which you know, was producing about 40% of their grid power from this gas. After this shock, they thought that within 5 years they will have caught up with all kind of different plants, with hydro plants, with coal plants, with LNG plants, where they can again produce power at a decent price. And that's how the 6.2 cent plus inflation came about, because that's the price, of LNG or coal power. And I still think that, perhaps not in 2013, but certainly a few years later, Chile will be able to produce a big amount of their power from hydropower, and at that time, power costs in Chile will normalize again.
So really going very far out, that 6 to 8 cents a kilowatt for the 5 years forward from 13 should not be some sort of aberration. That might be a much more realistic price.
That's what I'm hoping. I mean, as you know, there is a really big hydropower project in Chile, which has been in the permitting process for some time now, in the south, very much in the south of Chile. That project will add about 40% of the present power consumption of the central grid,
right.
And we are at the same on the central grid. So this is a major change once that project will come into being. It has had some delays, and particularly in the permitting, due to some American environmentalists who are protesting against this project. But I think it will go ahead because Chile will need it.
Last question on this, just in light of the long lead times on the continued development of power and the considerably lower prices, was there any chance the contract could be adjusted, abrogated, when it's ready to go into effect? I mean, or is it a, for lack of a better word, cut in stone?
I mean, we have fulfilled up to now our part of the contract all the time. You know, I think if somebody would come and say, look, you know, we need to change this contract, I would say, well, look, you know, the first 5 years, the tough years, we held up the contract and paid these high prices to you. You know, why would you not hold up the contract? And it's not that the power company would lose money. It's just that they would make less money that they make right now, because what you have to see is these regulated power prices, they are called marginal cost prices, and so these power companies receive these marginal cost prices, which means that they receive the price for the most expensive capacity of their generation.
Right.
So for all the other 90% of the capacity, they make money.
Right. Okay. Thank you again, and commend the job.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Ken Hefner in Lakeland. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
My question was, the original contract for the old tailings was for 45,000 tons per day. Now that we're also processing some of the tailings with this pallet plant, I was wondering, is that part of the 45,000 tons, or will there be like 45,000 tons plus additional?
No, it's part. It's the way you have to look at this is that this pilot plant will take the high oxidized tailings, process it through the plant, and produce copper out of the oxide portion of these tailings. Then the tailings are sent to our normal plant, where we take out then the copper from the sulfide portion of these same tailings. So the pilot plant really is a demonstration that we can process at the same time these tailings and extract copper, as I said, at the same time from the oxide portion and the sulfide portion.
Do you have sort of number how much that will help to raise production?
There was some interruption. We didn't get the...
Do you have an idea how much more copper per month will be possible by using this new method?
Well, as I explained before, the tailings in this tailings pond, Kalibas, which we are operating right now, has for the most part been always underwater. So for the most part of the tailings, the oxide portion is relatively low. There's only one part of that tailings pond which has mostly been dry, where the oxide portion is significantly higher, and this is where we use this pilot plant. But this pilot plant becomes important for tailings ponds which are not usually covered with water, which are sitting there basically dry. And that means that a major portion of the tailings are oxidized, particularly if they have been sitting there for a long, long time. And this pilot plant will demonstrate that we are able to also process such tailings which have both high oxide and still sulfide portions in as a content in the tailings.
Thank you.
There are no further questions. I would like to turn the conference back over to you, Mr. Kuta.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for attending our conference call, Q2 2011, and we look forward to talking to you again in another 3 months. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, your conference is now ended. All callers are asked to hang up their lines at this time, and thank you for your participation.